And now, it's time for Mr. L's Tavern, your place for conservative common sense talk. It's time. Please step inside the tavern of Mr. Ill.
Have no fear. My oven is not on and my head is not in it. The noose is not around the neck. Probably wondering why I'm playing this song. Well, I'm going to tell you. I've been held hostage by this commercial. Every channel that you turn on, there's a commercial. Some of you may have seen it. Some might not have. It's a commercial for some dog pet foundation, abused animals. They play this song, Sarah McLachlan, Angels, which they should play, you know, when they give you the death panel in Obamacare. They could play this. But you know the kid, the commercial with the dog sappily looking at you in the TV with half of its mouth bit open because, I don't know, maybe he suffered the same owner as Michael Vick. It's very interesting, you know, when liberals who are animal activists, and make no mistake, it's good to be an animal activist and be against domestic animal abuse. But when you have people like Sarah McLachlan and others who are, environmentalists, and they're big environmentalists, and they're dog lovers, and they're pet lovers, and PETA, and all these other crazy, whacked-out organizations, but then they turn the blind eye when President Obama calls the owner of a football team to announce that he's done the right thing by having back Michael Vick, a animal abuser, dog abuser, who basically enslaved dogs in his house to make them kill each other, basically. You know the story. So, in fact, Michael Vick learned nothing from slavery at all that his people endured. Let's say, it's black people are different than dogs. Of course they are. It's, of course, humans and dogs are different. Yeah, but you see, the lesson remains. The lesson remains. But what I really want to talk about is this commercial. Because you've all seen it. You know, when you're trying to watch The Sopranos on a Sunday morning, the reruns, or you're trying to watch a football game, or you want to watch, I don't know, you fill in the blank, whatever you want to watch, and this commercial comes on, and I want to take the TV set, and I want to throw it out the window, you know? I don't like seeing animals in cages, okay? I'm not Michael Vick, and I'm not Obama, right? I don't like seeing dogs with their faces bit off. I'm not Michael Vick, and I'm not Obama, all right? This is the most depressing song on the planet. I'm sorry. Is it over yet? Oh, there you go. It's over yet. Mr. L's Tavern, conservative common sense talk on ChimpseyTalk.com, the Chimpsey Radio Talk Conservative Syndicate. EmeraldTavern.Podomatic.com. I'm going to tell you about Podomatic. If there's going to be a change up, I think, in the future with Podomatic hosting my show and on that site, as I refuse to pay for what is called "quote unquote" pro on Podomatic, and so I think I'm either going to be taking out a couple of other sites, and then posting the show, the actual show, and the player on my official blog at emeraldtavern.blogspot.com, and also on Facebook as MRLTav. But I'll keep you posted on that one. Yeah, the TV commercial that just keeps on giving, just showing those poor, defenseless animals. I have a hard time with it, folks, I have to tell you. I have to actually look away from the screen, or I have to turn the channel. You know, but they just keep showing it over and over. It kind of reminds me of the Sam Kinison bit in the 1980s, the screaming comic, my favorite, Sam Kinison, who once did a a bit about world hunger, and he basically said, you know, you're sitting in your living room trying to enjoy what you put together from scratch, you know, your whole life, you got the TV that you wanted, the cars, you know, the money, the fame, and you just want to relax a little bit, and you turn on the TV, and they get this little Ethiopian with a 3-inch waist with mosquitoes flying around his head. You know, and they want you to give money, and they want to make you feel, you know, just horrible about yourself and your life and your lifestyle as an American. And so Kinnison basically says, you know, I basically have the solution, is that what you need to do is, all we need to do is just go over there and say, hey, you know, we've been driving across the desert, a day across the desert with your food, and it occurred to us that there wouldn't be world hunger if you people would live where the food is! Yeah, so words of wisdom from Sam Kinnison. He was ahead of his time. Very simple. You want food, move where the food is. It's very easy. That's all. But I didn't come here to talk about Sam Kinnison TV dogs. I've come here to talk about politics, and this is the place for conservative common sense talk. And I am Mr. L, and you know that. And you know that when you come here that I'm not going to change. You know, I'm not. You know, over the past, I don't know, 3 years, I've been doing this show on a steady basis. I haven't changed. You know, you come here, you know what you're going to get. I've always remained consistent with my style, my content, and the substance of the show. And I think people like it that way. And so I don't change. And I am like the Rock of Gibraltar. What could I tell you? This is what I believe in doing. You know, I'm not going to tell you that I got into witchcraft. I'm not going to tell you that I joined an online cult based around some wayward religion. You know, like some former talk show host that used to be a part of the Chimpsy Talk lineup, who, you know, when they were biting off of DC, you know, and then that didn't work. When they were trying to get, you know, their own cheerleading group, then that didn't work. Then when they tried to become the Chimpsy Talk version of Alex Jones, then that didn't work. Then when that didn't work, then they went into this religion, and then starting an online religious quote-unquote movement in which they hit people up for money and claim that they're going to be the saviors of these people's souls. But that's fine, you know, that's their journey. You know, there's also another journey, a person who proclaims himself as the king of the new media. Meanwhile, he's probably changed his show format, I'd say 15 times, and had to resort to pitch shifts in the voice, making his voice sound deeper, and calling himself the second coming of a dead American patriot who's been dead for over 150 years. But again, you know, I don't live in those fantasy worlds, and I just come on, do a show, you know what I'm saying? And this is what it is. People don't want to get distracted, and you shouldn't get distracted, because there's enough out there, quite frankly, that you could get distracted with. So what I want to talk to you tonight is, part of this evening, or maybe all of it, is 2012, because I hate it. I hate talking about it, so I might as well just get it out of the way. And the reason why I hate it, because here you have a huge congressional election sweep in 2010, November, the year of our Lord. And here we are, these people, pundits, we're already talking about 2012. Why? Why? What I've come here to tell you tonight, really, is just forget it. You know, forget it. You might as well just give up now. Obama's going to win. Folks, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how hard we try. Doesn't matter how hard we dig in. Doesn't matter how hard we work. Doesn't matter who the GOP candidate is. It doesn't matter who it is. It's inevitable. So let's just all forget about it and give up and have a good time. Right? After all, you can't beat a sitting president because, historically, incumbents don't lose. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? It's over. It's over. It's going to be another 4 years of Obama. Now, of course, I don't believe that personally, but the pundits, people in the media, the same people who helped him get elected, They are telling you now, and they want you to believe now, that he's going to be president for another 4 years, that in 2012 he will win. He's the comeback kid. He's moving to the center. He's a centrist. He's compromising. He's moving to the center. He's really an independent. He's not a leftist. He's not a socialist. And another 4 years would be another historic election. That's right. That's right. Historic it will be. And how dare those rubes, those idiots, those small people, those retards, those psychos, those nut jobs, citizens of America is what I mean. How dare America deny the first black historic president of the United States, even though he's systematically destroying the country limb by limb, taking it apart limb by limb, turning it into a welfare state, basically lighting the fuse of the debt bomb. How dare we deny him another 4 years, because it'll be historic all over again. Don't you know that? Don't you get it? Everybody gets it. What's the matter with you? And it's not just the left media. It's not just the left wing. It's people who are on quote-unquote our side, okay? Or so-called on our side, all right? People like Dr. Strangelove. Where the people, when I say Dr. Strangelove, I mean Charles Krauthammer, all right? This guy, please don't even get me started. This is a guy who was the first to call Obama the comeback kid after one friggin' stinking compromise. And it wasn't even a compromise. And what he did was that even though he kept the Bush tax rates in place with that passed bill, he added more to the debt. They all did, okay? Then Dr. Strangelove, just this past week, he said that we shouldn't, then we should, then we shouldn't, then we should, that the GOP shouldn't or should repeal Obamacare. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A person who doesn't have a clue, for all of his smarts, and he's a doctor and what have you, big political pundit, I'm sorry. He doesn't understand America. He doesn't understand America. He's not that far off from what Obama and his minions are. They don't understand America. They don't understand what is going on in this country right now. They've totally missed the point of the November 2010 election. They don't have their fingers on the pulse of the American public. They do not know or do not understand the temperature in America right now. But the dope sitting there watching TV, who doesn't know anything about politics. Strangely enough, they say that only 10% of the American people understand really what is going on politically and in their government and are watching it closely. Only 10%. That's not a lot. So when you get a couple of dopes in front of a TV set, or they open up his column and they don't know which way is up, they think, oh, it's Charles Krauthammer, Dr. Strangelove. And because he says it, well, it must be right. Everybody knows that. He's smart. So, and we're all rubes and we're dumb and we can't think for ourselves, right? Even Hannity. Even Hannity. I was listening to Hannity one night. I was driving. And he had Michael Barone on and Doug Schoen. And they were claiming that Mike Huckabee is the strongest candidate against Obama. I personally do not believe that, okay? I believe Mike Huckabee is the second coming of John McCain, and there's already proof to that accusation that I'm making. I'm not too far off when I say that, okay? Because as you could see, if anybody takes a break and they go over to MSNBC and they watch it for a little while, they are giving Mike Huckabee the John McCain treatment. That is, before he became the nominee of the Republican Party in 2008, they were treating him with kid gloves. He was their type of Republican. That is the kiss of death, because, again, the people at MSNBC, and I'm sorry to tell you, the people that are going to back Huckabee, you don't have your finger on the pulse of what is going on in this country right now. I'm sorry to tell you. Oh, yeah, I'd vote for Huckabee against Obama in a New York minute. And that's only because I really understand what's at stake, another 4 years of this man in charge, okay? But again, Again, they think that this is the strongest candidate. And then they say, people like Mike Barone and Doug Schoen say, oh, well, we don't, there's nobody that could run against Obama, really. Everybody's flawed. Every single one of the candidates that could potentially run against Obama is flawed. However, we're not going to point out Obama's flaws in the past 2 years. I'd need 2 hours to do another show like that when I did last year, the show that I did called It Was a Very Bad Year for Obama. Let me tell you something. They believe that there's nobody else to run against Obama, and it's going to be another 4 years against Obama because every one of these Republican candidates are flawed. And of course now Obama's moving somewhat to the center, quote unquote, and possibly there'll be a Jeb Bush run in 2016. How do you like that? I'm not saying that Jeb Bush was a bad governor. I think from what I've read and what I was told from people that I know down in Florida that he was a pretty damn good governor. But, you know, I'm getting a little sick of this dynasty crap in America. I'm getting sick and tired of it. You must be joking. You must be joking. Jeb Bush, 2016, give me a break. We can't wait that long. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Jeb Bush, 20. I don't want dynasties in America anymore. Okay? After Reagan, we went from Bush to Clinton to Bush, then Obama with a whole gaggle of Clintons. And then now you're going to tell me that we're going to have Jeb Bush in 2016 and that we're going to wait, that he's the only savior and saving grace? They must be joking. They must be joking. They must be high. They must be higher than the highway. They must be skleenheads. Jeb Bush 2016. Give me a bus pass. Come on, I mean, what do you expect? These people are Democrats. Let's just face it, okay? Barone is a Democrat. Michael Barone is a Democrat. He's written two such articles in Town Hall as of late about that the Obama victory is inevitable. It's inevitable. Don't you know it? Schoen's a Democrat. Okay? They're not conservatives. I don't care. Showing up on the Hannity program doesn't make you a conservative and doesn't mean that you're all for the conservative Republican agenda. These men, Schoen, Michael Barone, Pat Cadell, Stephen Hayes of the Weekly Standard, Krauthammer, many of them are part of the problem. Many of them are elitists. Many of them are overly intellectual. Many of them are overly wonk in knowing things that are of the beltway, and they have no idea what's going on in real America. Many of them are Democrats, former Democrats, and many of them worked for the government for a very long time. And that is their opinion, but they believe that it's inevitable and nobody is good enough. And this has nothing to do with me liking Sarah Palin or not, because quite frankly, I don't know whether or not she's going to run for president, and that's not the topic of conversation tonight. But I will say this, it doesn't matter about Sarah Palin. These people, these types of people who are considered on our side, they will not accept anybody. Nobody's good enough, okay? Jesus Christ could come off the cross, and that God Vishnu, too, could come down. Nobody would be good enough for them. So why am I freaking out about this? Why am I going bananas about this? Well, because, quite frankly, the American people are stupid. They're stupid. If you're not stupid and you're in tune with things like most of us, some of us are, who listen to this show and listen to talk radio, that was not a dig at you. Let's not forget, I've spoken about this before, the independents who are now against Obama once helped him get into office. That was a major part of his victory in 2008. And that's because he said a lot of nice things to a lot of gullible people who bought it. And they ate it up, lapped it up, and it could happen all over again. And here's why I'm worried. Because you see, Democrats already, even though the new Congress was sworn in, they read the Constitution. Of course, you could see how many Democrats, and if you ever want to look at how the difference between Democrats and Republicans, you want to see the aversion, total aversion, like garlic to vampires. When the GOP wanted to read the Constitution, on the House floor aloud with every member reading a part of it, which was quite nice, by the way. The aversion to that idea by many members in the Democrat Party will make you understand what it means when we say there is a difference between Republican and Democrat, and there is a difference between a conservative and a liberal. And an independent, the swing voter, the fence sitter, that I'll go anywhere you want because I'm independent, man. I have no, there is no left, man, and there is no right, man. It's just about, you know, finding a center, you know, because America needs a good center in America. We need to have a center here, you know, and there's got to be a center, you know. Okay? These people were fooled. They were fooled, and they could get fooled again. It's very simple. These are the people that when Obama does something, they go, oh, well, George Bush did. I don't care. I don't care. Just because George Bush did it doesn't mean that it's right or that I should agree with it now that it's Obama. Or when, you know, he goes and does something somewhat centrist, okay, somewhat something that looks like a compromise, and they go, oh, well, Charles Krauthammer said he's the comeback kid. I don't care what Charles Krauthammer says. The reason why I'm freaking out about it is because another 4 years of Obama, Democrats already, just after the new Congress, the Republican Congress was sworn in, they have stated that they are going to make it their work, their mission, their goal to take back most of the seats that they lost in 2010. They are going to try everything that they have to take those seats back. And I got to tell you, if that does happen and the American people are fooled by the Democrat Party once again, the Democrat Party who they want, all of a sudden now it's all about nonpartisan, we all have to work together, we need jobs now, we have to focus on jobs, even though for 2 years we ignored jobs and we enacted policies, legislative policies, that pretty much were job killers. We supported policies that were job killers. And even though now we want to be bipartisan, we want to work together, these are the same people that when they were voting on cap and trade, Nancy Pelosi shut off the lights and turned off the air conditioning on the floor and went on vacation in the summer. These are who these people are trying to pretend to be. And it is, I don't know, it's up to you to figure it out. Do you want to go down this road? Because it's very easy to go swing the other way because we have so many swingers in this country. We have so many fence sitters in this country. We have so many unprincipled individuals in this country who are willing to buy a lie and got us into this mess. So yes, George Bush wasn't a gem. McCain wasn't a gem. But look where we are. So it could happen all over again. He can get a rubber stamp all over again. Queen Nancy can reign again, and you will be right back where you started. And you know something? The Tea Party will end up marginalized and demoralized. Mark my words. Because it will look like a joke if you allow this man to get another rubber stamp and you allow these same people who got us into this mess, again, who lit the fuse on the debt bomb, if you allow these people back in another couple of years because of your indifference, because of your apathy, because of your hand-wringing, oh, let's just give up, they're all the same. And you don't know who the real enemy is, you will be back once again. Queen Nancy will reign again, and King Obama will have another rubber stamp to push through all of the rest of his Marxist agenda. Okay? So that's it. So that's where we are right now. Mr. L. Stavin, Conservative Common Sense Talk, ChimpsyTalk.com, and EmeraldTavern.blogspot.com.
Why we're going to measure the Republicans' proposals by the following yardstick: whether it creates jobs, whether it reduces the deficit, and whether it enhances the middle class. And you know, right out of the gate, sadly, they're going to pursue fruitlessly the repeal of health care reform, which actually will explode the deficit by $143 billion in the first 10 years.
The argument is that the health care reform will bankrupt the country even more so.
Well, not if you look at CBO's analysis. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office specifically has verified that the health care reform law gives us $143 billion in deficit reduction over the first 10 years. And aside from it being pointless to pursue something that's not going to happen, what we're going to do here is, instead of focusing on job creation, instead of focusing on deficit reduction and turning the economy around, we're going to spend thousands of hours of staff time, of member time, of floor time, trying to nick the health care reform legislation to death. And every minute that we waste on the Republicans' obsession with repealing health care reform is a minute that we are not spending on turning the economy around and creating jobs. That was the commitment
they gave to the voters, and that's the reason why we saw the results back in November.
But they ran on, we need jobs. It's about jobs. And that's what we acknowledge. Overall, our priorities are to create jobs and turn the economy around and cut the deficit.
But why wasn't that your priority 2 years ago? Why was it always healthcare?
With all due respect, come on, Bill. If you look at our success over the last 2 years, we have had the most historic success of any Congress since the early 20th century. We created over 1 million jobs in the private sector just in the last year alone. That's more jobs in 1 year than were created in the entire Bush presidency.
Well, that's a perfect example of what this country is up against in the next couple of years and what we're going to have to go through with these people. That was Congressman, her name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she is now the voice mouth for Nancy Pelosi to the press. And for those of you who don't know who she is, she's a bug-eyed blonde with a bad perm and a big mouth from Florida. And I, of course, name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but I, of course, like to use the proper Jewish Brooklyn inflection of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. In that interview with Bill Hemmer, she described herself as a bridge builder in Congress, building relationships. Meanwhile, in 2007, she went on, I believe it was MSNBC, and they have it up there on tape in YouTube, you could find it, that she described herself as a proud, partisan, minority bomb thrower. There you go right off the bat, so just so you know what you're dealing with when you're discussing Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But here you have a woman who goes on television, and this is what these people do. They lie, they lie, they lie, they lie. She goes on with Bill Hemmer in the morning, and he's asking her all kinds of questions, and she's basically saying, oh no, we want to create jobs now. That's what we want to do. And Republicans were stopping us from creating jobs, even though we controlled the House, the Senate, and the Oval for the past 2 to 4 years. And it doesn't really matter about you can't repeal health care. You can't do it. It's like these people say in 2012 you can't do anything about it. Obama's going to be president. It's inevitable. You can't do the health care. Who wants to do that? And you got to waste all this time. You have to waste all this time and office resources and staff resources. That we're going to waste it on repealing healthcare. Well, we really should be doing jobs. And after all, I don't know if you caught the doozy at the end by Ms. Wasserman Schultz. She actually claimed that Democrats created jobs in the past 2 years. And then she actually went one further for a humdinger of a lie. She said that the Democrats in the past year of Obama in 2010, that 1 million jobs were created, and that is more than the entire 8 years of the Bush administration's presidency. Okay? So she actually bald-faced lied the American public and said that in 1 year in Obama, 2010, there was 1 million jobs created, and that is more than 8 years created jobs under Bush. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, of course, with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Debbie Wasserman Schultz doesn't pay any attention to the actual facts. She's done this before. She did it over the summer. She said, quote, on the pace that we're on with job creation in the last 4 months, if we continued on this pace, all the leading economists say that it is likely that we will have created more jobs in this year than the entire Bush presidency. She actually said it in the end of September, early October. But if you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics data, this is the Bureau of Labor. During the Bush presidency, there was a net total of employment that went up 1.8 million jobs. During the Obama presidency, total employment has been reduced by 3.3 million jobs. Under Bush, of course, private employment shrank by 673,000 jobs, federal employment grew by 50,000 jobs, and government employment grew by 1,753,000 jobs. Under Obama, the private sector shed some 2.9 million jobs, while the federal government has grown by 40,000. And this was growing massively after the federal workforce shrank throughout the entire summer total government jobs shrank by 357,000 jobs, okay? And that's mainly due to the cuts at the state and local levels. But, you know, what are facts when you have somebody like Debbie Wasserman Schultz to talk to about the greater good that the Democrat Party is doing, and they're going to get out the yardstick and measure how the Republicans do, even though they just exploded the debt bomb, lit the fuse of the debt bomb, really, and waiting for it to explode with all of the massive spending. Remember, there was an article out just recently that says that the 111th Congress under Nancy Pelosi had created up more, racked up more debt than any Congress ever in the history of the country. All right, so Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you could take your yardstick and shove it. Well, they're already starting, and I hate to tell you. I'm trying to tell you something, people. They've already mounted a full-scale offensive. And listen, I don't want to, don't get me wrong, any Republican who doesn't follow the rules that they were sent there to do, which is what she thinks is a joke, which is abiding by the Constitution, which people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz was leading the charge against reading the Constitution the other week with some of the other ones like Jerry Nadler, Communist of New York. But listen, don't get me wrong. When Republicans don't do what they're supposed to be doing and they tend to take on rhino traits, they need to be taken to the woodshed. Now, for example, when Scott Brown's time is up, we need to find someone else. Sean Bealot. Why don't you get Sean Bealot up there in Massachusetts? Have a primary. Let Scott Brown explain his voting record to the conservatives and the middle of the roaders and the fiscally conservative people of Massachusetts, and explain his voting record thus far and beyond. And let's see who they decide. Don't go pick another Democrat. That's not the answer. That's going to make everything worse for you. Because for them, it's not about the country. It's about politics and power. Politics is their religion. Power is their drug. Then all in the same day, you have Dennis Kucinich. I had Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the morning. Then I came in. I came home for lunch. I turn on the TV. Who do I see? Old Dennis Kucinich. He's back again. And here he is talking about how we need to cut defense spending, and that the Iraq war is costing too much money, and we need to immediately make those cuts. And this is, of course, where they're going to go again. And you're going to hear from Iraq now. Now Iraq is going to be a problem all of a sudden, even though you didn't hear about it in the past 2 years, of course, under Obama. Where everybody's been, all these people who are such loud mouths about Iraq, they've been silent about it for the past 2 years. Then here you have Dennis Kucinich, the loser from Cincinnati, who's going to come out and say that we spend too much. That has nothing to do with welfare. Has nothing to do with that. You just an omnibus bill, and all this other stuff that you pass through, health care, entitlements up the gazoo. Meanwhile, you're going to say it's defense spending. Well, another one who likes to lie in front of a camera, Mr. Kucinich. It was projected in 2009, and it has come true, that Obama will surpass, eclipse Bush's war spending in Iraq by more than $260 billion with all of his welfare programs. That's right. Spending on welfare through 2010 and 11 will eclipse Bush's war spending by more than $260 billion, with a B, dollars. Obama's welfare spending will reach $888 billion in one fiscal year, 2010 into 2011. And that is according to the Congressional Research Service. And this was done late 2009. And the best is yet to come, my friends. And that's why I wanted to talk to you tonight about 2012. All right, this is very important that you understand. We all understand what's going to happen here. These people are going to try to take over again and give Obama a rubber stamp once again. And they're going to try to pull the wool over your eyes. They're going to try to flim-flam you, bamboozle you, and dazzle you and razzle you, and try to get you back on their side. And it's a big mistake if you let them do it. That's why 2012 is so important. So step right up, place your bets, 2012, here we go, I'm dealing out the cards. Yeah, we got Queen of Hearts, Palin, yeah, we got the King of Diamonds, Mitt Romney, we got the Ace of Spades, Mike Huckabee, yeah, we got a Joker named Gary Johnson, we got a couple of wild cards over here, and we got someone over here, and up. Oh, it doesn't matter what hand you got, ladies and gentlemen, because we've got a winner, Barack Obama, 2012, 4 more years of communism in America. That's it. That's right. It's going to be, if you listen to the pundits. I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Now, as you know, like most people in the game of conservative talk on the internet or the radio or whatever, blogging, people who simply care about their country, and know that a sort of a socialist communist revolution has already happened, and we're trying to turn it back around, and we have the eye on the prize. You get up, every morning, and I mean every morning I get up very early, and I scroll the websites like most people do, bounce around from site to site for about an hour in the morning, and then maybe an hour in the afternoon, sometimes when I'm getting work done. And then the evening, of course, and you get a little bit addicted to it. I came across this article that pretty much inspired this show. And so I came across this one first by a man by the name of Jack Kerouac. And of course, when I read this article, I hear the voice of Stewie from Family Guy in my head. It's just this pretentious, deep conservative thinker. The deep conservative thinker with a lot of intellectualism, you know. We have to have the intellectual conservatives. It can't just be somebody who can lead the country out of its mess. We have to have a very intellectual person. We have to have a very cerebral man running the country. So I came across this January 5th in the American Thinker. Will Obama be a one-term president? And it's got a question mark on it. The pummeling the Democrats suffered this past November has convinced many a voter that Barack Hussein Obama is destined to be a one-term president. For the sake of the country's well-being, I can only pray that this verdict comes into fruition. But regrettably, though, I am not persuaded that it will. And you go on to read why he doesn't think so. Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, Sarah Palin, and of all people, Newt Gingrich, to identify just of some of the more popular names, are to man and woman deeply flawed candidates. And then he goes into every one of the top dogs, contenders in the Republican Party, who might run against Obama, and pretty much basically trashes them. But Jack Kerouac has a PhD and is currently a professor of philosophy at Rowan University, Penn State University, and he knows a lot of stuff. So therefore, we have to believe him, and therefore, it's done. And therefore, Obama is president for another 4 years. Do you see how it works, folks? Do you see the thinking here? And of course, Mr. Kerouac has a blog. Guess what the title is? The Intellectual Conservative. You could see him with that voice, and you could just hear him with he's got the red smoking jacket on. He's sitting in a big leather-bound chair, looking out a window with the snow falling. There's a fire roaring. He's reading E.F. Hutton. This is what we're up against. Big problem. I need a drink. Let me take a quick break, play a quick song, come back, close out the show, talk about this, give you another example, and discuss other things.
On a Sunday afternoon, like to do. Talking, laugh all the time away. I feel it coming closer day by day. Life will be ecstasy, you and me endlessly. Ooh, yeah. On a Sunday afternoon, really couldn't get away too soon.
What about on other issues heading forward into the re-election campaign to be more pro-business, maybe kinder to Wall Street?
Well, it's not a question of kinder to Wall Street. All of the initiatives we have put forth, whether it was health care reform, whether it was issues that related to energy security for our country, whether it was Wall Street, health, Wall Street reform, any of them, were all about market-oriented solutions, about private sector leading the way, public policy to set standards or have tax incentives or in the like. But it was all about recognizing that our job creation would have to take place in the private sector in order for us to really thrive and be entrepreneurial as a country.
Well, there you have it. That was Nancy Sarkozy, former Speaker of the House, and going on CNN saying that they encouraged privatization and free market over the last 4 years, and that's what really what they're about, and they're all about entrepreneurship, not about big government, even though they nationalized probably about 50% of the economy in 4 years, ruined the national healthcare system that we've already had. What could I tell you? So from Debbie Wasserman Schultz to Dennis Kucinich to Nancy Pelosi, one lie after another, and then we get, of course, to Barack Obama, who is touting the recent 9.4% unemployment rate that went down from 9.8% as some sort of victory. Of course, Rush Limbaugh had debunked it as a crazy claim just moments after it was published. And a lot of other people have also. There's a writer from Forbes whose name is... what's his name? He did an article today about the John Dobos, I believe, D-O-B-O-S-E, at Forbes magazine, the harsh reality of the falling unemployment rate. And he gets into it. It's pretty much a sham, because we all know that Joe Biden had promised 500,000 jobs, and that they originally expected 350,000 jobs, and they only got about 150,000 jobs, and it should be much more than that. And even Ben Bernanke has said that it's not anywhere near a recovery. It's a good sign, but you have to remember that most of these jobs that were added, not created, were bartenders and waitresses and people in hospitality. You know, indentured servants for the elite. You know, working minimum wage. And yes, so you're going to have to decide what you want. Do you want more lying for another 4 years in 2012? Because that's what the show is about, you know. The show is about 2012, and even though I hate 2012 and talking about it, I felt the need to do this show. And as you can see, it will be a gamble, as I titled the show, The Gamble. Because 2012 will be a gamble. It will be a huge gamble with America's future. And I created a show card. It looks like a casino table with all kinds of poker cards and the players in 2012. And, of course, an aging Obama who would age in another 2 years, what he would look like, which is pretty cool. And his sidekick, the Joker, Joe Biden. There are two more Jokers on the table, of course. That is Gary Johnson and Donald Trump. But I think possibly, even though I hate talking about 2012, I think I'm just going to do this show in parts, The Gamble, and The Gamble with America's Future. As time progresses and as we get closer to that time of year, campaign season 2012 and the candidates, and I really don't want to talk about the candidates right now themselves because none of them really haven't come forward yet. I mean, there hasn't been. I mean, you got these 12 or something candidates that are all in the spotlight, yet nobody's running. You know, I don't get this. So, you know, it hasn't happened yet, so it's not necessary for me to do so. But I think I'm going to continue it, and as time goes on, we take some of the cards away as we get closer and to see which card or candidate on the Republican side is left standing, which I think might be fun, but I still don't know if I'm clear if I'm going to do that, but we'll see. But again, I don't want to talk about the candidates. It's too early for that. I want to talk more about these people that I've described as the people in the Republican Party, the people on our side who claim they have the finger on the pulse of the country and claim that Obama has got his mojo and claim that Obama is going to be the comeback kid, or even is the comeback kid with all of his quote-unquote victories as of late. As you could see, America is still reeling from joblessness. It doesn't like the Obama policies. It doesn't like Obamanomics. It doesn't like the healthcare system, since most people want it repealed. Over 60% would like it repealed. Most people don't want it. Most people don't want it, and this is what the election was about in November 2010. It was about Obama's policies. It was about the arrogance of power, not partisanship or Washington is broken. You know, when I went to tea parties, I didn't see any signs like that. I didn't see any signs that says Washington is broken, or end partisanship now, or no labels now. No, I saw signs that said, we're the friggin' jobs. I saw signs that said, Obama, go back to Kenya. I saw signs that said, no socialism in my country. I saw signs that says, no nationalizing of healthcare. I saw signs that read, honk if I'm paying your mortgage. I saw signs that said, stop mortgaging off my kids' future to China. I saw signs that read, no amnesty. I saw signs that read, don't bow to foreign leaders, you're the president. I saw these, but here you have a writer on Pajamas Media. And I'm going to get you the article and the name of the article. And it's Pajamas Media, it's called How Obama Gets to 270 in 2012. So here we have another person, supposedly from our side. Her name is Myra Adams, and I'll get to her. I'll get to her background in a minute, because it's always necessary to look into the background of these people to know where they're coming from, and you'll see. But she says it's all in the math, and the numbers aren't looking good for the GOP in 2012. Collective wisdom believes that he's one and done. He's a one-termer. Not so fast, she says. And she goes into all this stuff about why. And here we go. President Obama will have the power of the incumbency. Meaning, give up already. Just give up. Don't bother. He's an incumbent. And historically, as it goes, incumbents always win, right? That's what it is. Don't even. 56 U.S. presidential elections, 31 of which have been involved in incumbents. Of those 31 presidents, 21 have won. So just stay home, 2012. Don't campaign for whoever the nominee would be, whether it's Romney, Palin, Huckabee, Rick Perry, Chris Christie, who, Bobby Jindal, whoever. Any one of those deck of cards that I've laid out and more. Don't bother. He's an incumbent. So she gets into the math of 270, but the problem with her article is, and there are many problems with this article, is she uses the 2004 Bush-Kerry and the 2008 McCain-Obama elections as a baseline for the red versus blue electoral maps. And she says it's virtually impossible, much difficulty ahead, that Obama will take back states like Indiana, North Carolina, Virginia, Ohio, and Florida, and even Arizona. Meanwhile, for the past, I don't know how long, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, maybe even longer, Arizona has been a red state. It's only gone blue once, and that was for Bill Clinton, I believe in 1992 or 1996. You could check it. Then she gets into the Hispanic vote and the illegal immigrant issue. Legal alien issue. She believes that the Hispanic vote in 2012 will turn out in record numbers, even though a lot of Hispanics, especially those who are hailing from Florida and Cuba, tend to vote along conservative party lines and conservative values-oriented parties like the Republican Party. And of course, we have a Cubano-American superstar in the Senate right now who's elected, Marco Rubio, which I'm sure would be leading the charge against Obama in Florida's Cubano community voting bloc that they have down there. But Miss Myra, who I'm going to get to where she's from, so you can make sense when I explain it all and where she comes from. And she suggests that the GOP, in order to win in 2012 against Obama, they need to make inroads with the Hispanic community. And they basically need to redeem themselves by trashing the illegal immigrant issue and just being pro-amnesty, basically. So meaning they have to take, they have to insult the people in 2010 who were predominantly against amnesty, who came out in droves to get this Congress, the Democrats, out of Congress. They have to now alienate them and go McCain. They need to alienate them and go McCain-Bush and become rhinos, because that's what America wants now. First of all, the problems with Bush and Kerry and the Obama-McCain election as a baseline, using that as a baseline, you're making it into a flawed argument, because 2012 is going to be a very different election and time in the country as 2008, as was 2008, was 2004. You understand what I'm saying? See, in 2004, we had a 5 to 6% unemployment rate. Things were pretty good economically. We had just been attacked by terrorists at 9/11, and we went into Iraq just as. So the country didn't want John Kerry to come in and because they wanted stability. You understand? They needed something stable, so that's why George Bush got reelected. Partly the reason why. Partly the reason why, and economic factors, as I pointed out. 2008 was very different from 2004, because here you had a rhino old white guy named McCain who didn't know how to run a campaign, who had people working for him that were operatives of the Democrat Party, and the country wanted change. They wanted Mandingo to come in, okay? This is what, all right, the young vote and all that, and the media, and yes, we can, and hope he changey, and boom, financial crisis, a meltdown of the markets, and boom, you get Obama. Two different separate elections and times and periods of the country, and 2012 will be even more different and times and temperatures of the country, I believe. And I believe, once again, they'll be looking for change. They're already looking for it. They already wanted for it. They already spoke in droves in November to get these people out. Then this Myra Adams, or whatever her name is, goes on about how the illegals, the illegal vote. How are you going to say that in Arizona, where they elected a governor in huge margins, Jan Brewer, who has been leading the charge against amnesty and illegal immigration and border control, okay? A country that is behind Arizona in the majority, that wants the border secured, wants the gangs out, wants people who are benefited by anchor babies to get out of the country with their sucking on health benefits. They want this fixed, but yet this is going to be the solution for the Republican Party to become pro-amnesty. Doesn't make sense. Then her stupidest argument was that somehow Obama is going to win back these swing states that he won in 2008. He's going to win them in 2012. Well, if you look at the job disapproval in each of these states, it looks pretty rosy to me that he is not going to gain these back. Okay? Indiana, job disapproval to approval, 62 to 37%. Florida, disapproval, 54 to 45. Arizona, 60-40. Now, that's what she said was they were going to flip Arizona. Obama's going to flip Arizona. Nevada, 52-46. New Hampshire, 53-46. Ohio, 57-43. Colorado, 51-48. Pennsylvania, even, 53-47. Okay? But, again, you have to know what you're dealing with. And when I say that, you need to look at where this is coming from and who the pundit is and what their party affiliation is and what they believe in ideologically and where they're coming from and whether or not they're moderate and they're basically posing as something that they're not. Myra Adams is a media producer and writer, political observer, writer for the Daily Beast, a liberal publication, who served on the campaign of McCain in 2008. She was a media person for him, did media ads on the creative team, and also did the same for George Bush in 2004, meaning she worked for two rhinos, is a rhino, possibly a liberal, and this is where this story comes from, okay? So we need to start exposing these people for the frauds that they are, and not giving them kudos because they've been somewhat being pundits and talking about things that we agree with ideologically over the years. This is a totally different time. This is the gamble with the future of the United States, your kids' future, and whether or not you want to take that gamble as was whoever the person should be. I'm not saying the primaries. Primaries is a different story. But when that last card is standing on the table against this abomination of a president, a liar, okay, a person who has faked center before, went hard left, and now is going to try to pull the wool over your eyes once again, you need to figure out what you want to do. Do you want to gamble with your children's future? Whether or not you want to gamble with the future of the United States of America, get into this fight, get him out, do everything that we can to get him out, and put someone else in that is more ideologically aligned to where we think this country should be going. Or you can take the gamble, you could sit it out, or you can vote for Obama, or you can vote for somebody who doesn't have a snowball's chance in Hades of winning. Throw away your vote, and here we are again, 4 more years of Obama, and possibly looking down in the face in the barrel of a gun at the head of America with another possible super majority. It is up to you. A big gamble. You I don't know if you want to take it or not, if you want to get into the fight, or if you want to believe these the cavalcade of rhino putz pundits out there who say it's inevitable. You might as well just sit home and fiddle your diddle, because you know nothing and we know everything. And he's going to be the president for another 4 years just because we say so. So just deal with it.